Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hi, and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, and in this final installment of the response to National Geographic's recent evolution article by Carl Zimmer, we'll be discussing the scientific and anti-ID theological arguments which are made in the article relating to the evolution of the eye. Before Zimmer discussed conservation among genes controlling eye development in widely different types of organisms, which I previously discussed was reminiscent of common design, he does some blocking by using theological arguments against eye design. Up to this point, Zimmer avoided typical evolutionary icons, but once he started to make the old fallacious dysteleological argument that the eye is, quote, far from perfect, unquote, he slipped into classic Darwinist iconography. Zimmer cites three lines of evidence which he thinks count against the design of the eye. 1, our retinas may become detached after, quote, a sharp punch to the head, unquote. 2, light-gathering cells point inward, not outward, towards the light in our eyes. And 3, the optic nerve creates a blind spot because it starts in front of the retina before going into the brain. Based on this evidence, Zimmer concludes that, quote, evolution, with all its blunders, made the eye, unquote. These arguments fail for two reasons. First, intelligent design does not require perfection, nor does it require that a system always survive malicious physical attacks. Was the Ford Pinto, with all its imperfections revealed in crash tests, not designed? Second, the design of the eye actually is not inefficient, refuting this tired icon. Both the presence of the blind spot and the inward orientation of light-recepting cells, cited by Zimmer as imperfection, are actually the result of an eye design which is optimized for visual acuity. Georgia Yub explains in the ProID journal Origin Design why vertebrate eye design works quite well. Yub writes, quote, it has been commonly claimed that the vertebrate eye is functionally suboptimal because photoreceptors in the retina are oriented away from the incoming light. However, there are excellent functional reasons for vertebrate photoreceptors to be oriented as they are. Photoreceptor structure and function is maintained by a critical tissue, the retinal pigment epithelium, RPE, which recycles photopigments, removes spent outer segments of the photoreceptors, and provides an opaque layer to absorb excess light and performs additional functions. These aspects of the structure and function of the vertebrate eye have been ignored in evolutionary arguments about suboptimality, yet they are essential for understanding how the eye works. Unquote. The entire argument about the blind spot that Zimmer makes actually invokes something which rarely causes a problem. George Ayoub performs a thought experiment where he imagines what would happen if we were to remove the blind spot from our eye. He writes, quote, indeed, our thought experiment has taken the vertebrate eye rapidly downhill. In trying to eliminate the blind spot, we have generated a host of new and more severe functional problems to solve. Our, quote, repair seems far worse than the apparent flaw we wanted to fix, unquote. The full article by George Ayoub is available at ARN.org and should be consulted to get a full appreciation of Ayoub's argument. In making this dysteleological argument, Zimmer makes inappropriate theological assumptions that a designer must make things to withstand certain physical attacks. He also makes inappropriate scientific assumptions which assume that there are no visual benefits from current vertebrate eye design. It seems that the icon of, quote, poor design of the eye's retina, unquote, is false. But Zimmer does make one scientific argument about the eye. His article has a diagram showing various types of eyes, asserting that the gradations of extant eye types imply that stepwise evolution of the eye is possible. This type of diagram is common among ID critics, and it is almost becoming an icon in and of itself. It brings to mind a revealing passage from Thomas Woodward's new book, Darwin Strikes Back, Defending the Science of Intelligent Design. Woodward writes, quote, I once asked the renowned Princeton biologist John Tyler Bonner how he would explain the macroevolution of such complex systems. In response, he directed me to George Gaylord Simpson's book, The Meaning of Evolution. Simpson's answer, looking at a suggested sequence of gradation of different eyes, from simple to complex, was not much advanced on Darwin's. Do we really know that natural selection can accomplish the drastic morphological transitions between these different types of eyes with all the knitting and organizing of new complex proteins? Hopefully, this discussion will help listeners to understand that what they read in National Geographic should possibly be taken with a grain of salt. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast, saying thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finnick. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.